Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome you here this morning to Union Congregational, where no matter who you are or where you are in your life's journey, you are welcome here. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Tori, and I have a couple announcements before we get started. First and foremost, that if you have a hard time hearing me, there are hearing devices in the back that you can just put in your ear and I can talk right to you. And I can be that voice in your head. And also, if you are new with us, or if you have an address or information change, there are these little cards in your front pew right in front of you. I'm going to have you fill that out, fold it up, and put that in the offering plate as it comes through. And then also, later in the service, there are prayer requests. We share prayer requests with one another out loud. But if you have a prayer request that is more private, and you don't want to share it out loud, then there's a place on the back where you can fill out a prayer request on the back, and then again, fold it up and put it in the offering plate, and that would be from my eyes only. Couple of things that I want to inform you guys of. Can I announce the time change thing? Yeah? Okay. Starting at daylight savings time, November 3rd, we will be having our services at 9:30 all year long. So no more changing back and forth, no more wondering, I wonder if it's 9 o'clock today, I wonder if it's 10 o'clock today. Nope. All year long, it is 9:30. So are there any other announcements? We got one behind you, Heidi. Ton? Whoops.
So the cleanup day is Wednesday the 30th, not Thursday the 30th. Everybody come, please. Oh, wow. Great.
Yay, technology. Also, ta-da. The message up on the board about the movie night was correct. The date is November 7th. It's in the bulletin as happening this Thursday, the 24th, but that time date has been changed to early November. So just heads up about that. Anyone else?
Okay. Well, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship through a time of silence. Join me in the call to worship. We come to hear ancient stories of faith. God promised our ancestors the extension of grace.
We remember those who lived long ago. Some we see as family, and others we see as foe.
We learn from their stories, their worries, and fears, and we learn in it all that God was so near.
We watch with our eyes and hear with our ears. This message of God is important to hear.
So let us listen real close and not fall asleep. This service today is surprisingly deep. You just got it. Before we go into prayer, if you have not gotten it yet, we are starting a series on Dr. Seuss, the gospel according to Dr. Seuss. And it is something that is surprisingly deep today. So with that in mind, let's go to God in prayer. God of land and God of sea, be with us today as only you can be. Be our fortress and be our shield, for we know in whom we are sealed. God of faith and God of grace, May we see you today in each other's face. Walk with us, guide us, lead us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Let us stand and sing All Are Welcome Here. And we're going to be doing verses 1, 4, and 5. And it is number 3 in your supplemental hymnal if you'd like to follow with that. Please stand if you are able. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet our friends and neighbors with the peace of Christ and saying hello to them. Be seated. Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. Sometimes pastors forget things, and I forgot to line somebody up to hit the button to record the service. So I got to awkwardly walk over here and turn it on. But Cindy, may I recruit you to push the button when we start the song after the sermon? Just one button. It's this button. It's recording now. Mm-hmm. Just hit that button.
When
we start the song after the sermon. That would be great. Now we're back on track. I tell you, I love the fact that one of the greatest parts about the winter crowd, when the summer people kind of trickle out, and it's just kind of our core group, I can get away with forgetting and being dumb sometimes. So our scripture reading today is in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You who are being protected by the power of God through faith for the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Here ends the reading of God's word. I remember the first book that I could read by myself. It was a book called Tip. This is it. This is the very book that I read when I first began reading. And I remember kneeling in front of my dad's pleather red chair and slowly reading it out loud. And you read things like, here, Tip, here, Tip, here, here, no Tip, here, Tip, come here. This is now what I say to Caesar. And I remember feeling so proud that I could do that by myself. And then several years later, my sister bought me a book, and she actually special ordered it. And they printed my name in the story, where I got to be the main character of the book. And I was on this adventure. And my name was spelled correctly. And it was right there in the pages. And as I got older, I found myself reading other books and other stories. And I found myself in the stories of those pages. Books like Super Fudge and Nancy Drew Mysteries, and The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe. And I would imagine myself as one of the characters. I put myself in that story. One of the most famous children's book series is Dr. Seuss. And I ran across a book called The Gospel According to Dr. Seuss by James W. Kemp. And I read the first chapter and I thought, man, this would make a really good sermon series. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be doing sermons and services based on Dr. Seuss books. This week, we're looking at Horton Hatches an Egg. Horton is a kind and gentle, good-hearted elephant who gets talked into sitting on an egg of a bird named Maisie, who wanted to go on vacation. Horton took his duty very seriously. He made a promise, and he was determined to keep it. Nothing could deter him from his commitment on sitting on that egg. And the book reads, so Horton kept sitting there day after day, and soon it was autumn. The leaves blew away. And then came the winter, the snow and the sleet. The icicles hung from his trunk to his feet. But Horton kept sitting and said with a sneeze, I'll stay on this egg. I won't let it freese. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful, 100%. Spring came, and Horton's animal friends began making fun of him. They thought it was ridiculous that an elephant would be perched in a tree sitting on an egg. And his friends gathered around them, and they shouted with glee, look, Horton the elephant is up in a tree. They taunted, they teased him, they yelled, how absurd. Old Horton the elephant thinks he's a bird. They laughed and they laughed and they all ran away, and Horton was lonely. He wanted to play, but he sat on the egg and he continued to say, I meant what I said and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful, 100%. Later in the story, three hunters decide to capture Horton, the egg and all, and sell him to the circus. And all the while, Horton refuses to budge from his egg. In the face of challenges and persecution and ridicule, Horton remains faithful, 100%. There is a happy ending. You're going to have to read the book in order to find out what the happy ending is. The book of 1 Peter was written to the Hortons of this world. They are a faithful group of ancient Christians who were being persecuted. 1 Peter was written around 64 AD, and this was the time that Nero set fire to the city. It was burned 70%. And it resulted in many Romans losing their lives and others remaining homeless. And since Christians were not liked really that much anyway, Nero decided to blame it on the Christians. And it led to the arrest, the torture, and the slaughter of many Christians in that city. Many decided to flee and settle in different areas. They were exiles, and they lived in different Roman towns, a lot of them in Galatia, which is an area, it's not a town, but it's more of a land area with a lot of little towns in it. And in 1 Peter, the author says, I write this letter to the exiles that are in Galatia. And they are the ones that fled the intense persecution in Rome. Now, Galatia and the other lands mentioned, they were Roman territories, but the persecution in the outer lands were not that intense. It would be categorized more as a very harsh discrimination rather than a persecution of people getting killed. Christians moved into Roman towns, and it was a very difficult situation. Finding a place to live, finding a job, going to the marketplace, meeting neighbors, having other children that your children could play with. Now imagine with me for a moment what it would be like for one of the original readers of this letter. You're living in a Roman-ruled town in the land of Galatia, and the first two thoughts in your head when you enter this town is, where am I going to get a job, and where am I going to live? The Roman citizens know that you're an outsider, The way you dress, the way you talk gives it away. They also know that you are a follower of the way, or as they call you, Christians. They know that you follow a man that had been condemned to death by their own government. and that they think it's ridiculous and even absurd that you claim this man raised from the dead. And what is more absurd is that you worship him. And like Horton's friends, they laugh and they ridicule. And all these Christians are doing are just trying to remain faithful 100%. Think about going to the marketplace to buy food. What Roman citizens pay for olives would be maybe 2 denarii, 2 coins. But for these Christians, they would come up to the marketplace and they would have to pay 4 denarii. They paid double the cost. Anger and frustration of the injustice would be daily emotions that you would feel. And just think of how you would feel when you gathered with your small church in the secrecy of a friend's home and you find out that you got a letter from Peter, the apostle of Jesus. And in it he writes, "Blessed be the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth in the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That's what they're being persecuted for. That's what they're being discriminated against for. And into the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have suffered various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Here's a snapshot of what Peter is telling them. One, you have an inheritance that is indestructible. Two, you are protected by the power of God through faith. And three, even when you suffer for a little while, it's so that the genuineness of your faith has a chance to praise and give glory and honor to God. Can you imagine the encouragement that they would have felt reading those words? There is hope in the persecution. There is purpose in the pain. And that is good news. And what is good news for these ancient Christians is good news for us today. We can find ourselves in this story. James Kemp, who wrote the book, says this: "It can be argued that the most basic challenge of our practice of faith is to remain faithful, to remain true to our convictions and commitment, even when doing so leads to frustration or pain or embarrassment or even persecution." And that's where his quote ends. We live in a really messed up world. It is violent, it is judgmental, and it's unfair sometimes. And it's hard to live out your commitment to faith. We get worn down, we get worn out, and we just flat out get tired sometimes. And many times the most challenging situation are not the aggressive persecutions. The most challenging situations are the subtle, everyday things that just wear on us and wear us down. Kemp tells a story of when he was in seminary, and he says this: "My first field education assignment during my seminary years included a hidden test. I didn't know how badly I failed until a few weeks before the assignment ended. I received a curious sort of compliment that tipped me off that something was seriously wrong. The compliment sounded something like this. "We have enjoyed having you with us, Jim. You fit in real well. We were afraid we might get some kind of radical or something, but you haven't upset people by pushing their feelings on some type of radical issues like women's rights and things." He said these words stung. In striving to fit in and to meet expectations and make and not make waves, I was no longer responding faithfully to the renewing mercy of God. He was fitting in too well. He was just going with the flow and seeing where it took him. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote a letter from Birmingham jail, and it addressed those who claimed to be faithful clergy, but who supported the policy of moderation, and they opposed the sit-ins and the marches of 1963. King said that it is not always the KKK or other extreme groups that stand in the way of freedom and justice. Many times, it's the moderates who stand in the way. They are those who wait for the proper time, which never comes. Quote from Dr. King in this letter. He says, "Shallow understanding from people of goodwill." I'm going to start that again. "Shallow understanding from people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection." If we, like Horton, are to be faithful, we must be prepared to not only endure ridicule, but take action when the cause is right and just, even if it means going outside of our comfort zone and risk our reputations. When reading this passage from 1 Peter, there's a phrase that sticks out to me. It's five little words, and it's the genuineness of your faith. And I kept going back to those words, and I kept thinking, what does that mean? What does that look like? And I think the genuineness of our faith looks different for each individual. I believe God wires us to have certain gifts and certain passions. Some of us sitting here today have a passion for protecting the environment. Some of us have a passion for helping children. Some of us have a passion for teaching art and creativity. And there's some of us who have a passion for reaching out to our Native American brothers and sisters. There's some here who have a passion for reaching out to the LGBTQ community. And there are others sitting here who have a passion to teach scripture. We are all wired differently. And we are all wired to connect with God and wired to connect with each other in a very unique way. This is the beauty of the body of Christ. Oftentimes we stumble through this world trying our best to love God and to love one another. And some days we fail miserably. And other days we do pretty good. And when we stumble through this life trying to figure out how to remain faithful in the midst of the trials, how do we love God? How do we love people? That we know that God has a plan, a solid plan to see us through. My friends at Union Congregational, may we put ourselves in Horton's story and see ourselves in the faithfulness of Horton. May we see ourselves in the ancient early Christians. May we remind ourselves that we need to remain faithful and not become lukewarm in our stance for our love for God and our love for others. And may we use the way we are wired and use our God-given gifts to faithfully and genuinely interact with this world so that they may see Christ in us. May we remain faithful, and may we say, we meant what we said, and we said what we meant. Our faithfulness, 100%. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing. The song is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. We're going to do verses 1, 3, and 4 on page 439 in your hymnals if you'd like to use that. Stand and sing if you can. Let us take some time to share our joys and our concerns, our praises and our prayer requests.
Well, Joe Horick, you know, has been going through a lot with Bob and everything else, and her puppy got really sick Friday. And they took it to the vets around here, and they said there was nothing they could do, and they rushed it down to the cities. And she'd like a little prayer for her dogs. I mean, anybody who has animals know how close they are, and that dog's gotten them through a lot lately, and so they want some prayers for their puppy.
Oh, dogs are family. What is the dog's name?
It's Bailey.
Bailey.
count on Wendy to know all the details.
Wendy knows everything.
Wendy's on Congregational Life Team, and she knows everything. So I'm just reporting that Lynn Smith had a tumor removed from her kidneys, a kidney this week. She's doing well, and the tumor was at the end of the kidney, so apparently just a small piece of the kidney had to come with it. And they're very hopeful, and she's doing all right.
Good.
A prayer for my sister Beth, who is facing a diagnosis of breast cancer.
Her name is Beth?
Okay.
Any others? Let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you today, grateful and thankful for your faithfulness to us. God, thank you that you are a God who remains close to us no matter what we go through in this life, that you are a God that we can count on when we are fearful, when we are unsure. But God, you are also a God that we can count on when we are joyful and when we are going through good times. Your faithfulness never wavers. It never disappears. It is constant, and it is a sure thing. God, we lift up our friends today. We lift up Joe and Bob as they are going through figuring out what is happening to Bailey. And God, we pray for Joe and Bob, and we pray for Bailey, and we lift them up to you, and that you would give peace in that situation, and that you would bring healing to Bailey. God, we thank you and are grateful that Lynn has gone through her surgery. We are grateful and thankful that the tumor has been removed and that she is doing well. We ask a blessing upon our friends. And God, we ask that you be with Beth as she has been diagnosed with breast cancer. And God, cancer is always a really scary word. And we ask that you give Beth peace and comfort. We ask for the doctors and the nurses that you give them wisdom to know how to treat Beth. And we ask for healing in your name. God, we thank you for putting us in a community where we can rely on one another and we can share with one another. And we can lift one another up through encouragement, through prayer. Thank you for bringing us together. We think about the firemen, the sheriff's officers and the deputies, the first responders, the EMT workers. We thank you that you have put them here. And we ask that you protect them and care for them as they go about and do the work that so many people can't do. We lift up our government officials, our mayor. We lift up our governor. We lift up our representatives. We lift up our president and our vice president. And we lift up our Speaker of the House. God, we know that you are in the midst of that situation.
And we are looking on the outside, looking in. But you are on the inside. You are in on every conversation. You are in on every motive. And we ask that you reveal truth. And that you create unity within our nation once again. And trust within our nation again. God, we come before you with all these concerns. And we unify together as we pray the prayer that your Son Jesus has taught us to say. Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Can the ushers please come forward for the morning tithes and offerings? Thank you.
God, thank you for being faithful to us. We give you this offering to do with it what you will. Take it and use it for your kingdom. Multiply its reach and influence, we pray. May it be a blessing to many. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing a last song called God's Eye is on the Sparrow, verse 1. And Kathleen, I'm sorry I didn't talk to you about this. Can we go back and do the... when the chorus is happening, we can do I Sing Because I'm Happy one more time.
Oh, okay.
Does that? Okay. We'll see if it works. If not, it's my fault. Let us sing. Receive the benediction. May God the Creator bless you this week. May God the Son walk with you and shine through you, and the Holy Spirit guide you in all that you do. Amen.
I couldn't imagine.
Well, that's, well I should have talked to you beforehand because I'm practicing and I was like, okay, I'm counting to 12 because it's like, well, it's 12, eh? And it's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's like, holy cow, how am I going to do this? 1, 2, 3, 4 was much easier.
Yes.
You agree?
Oh, yes. Much easier to say.
I was like, oh, man.
No choir for next week.
Okay.